the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
Brothers and sisters, our God is a God of consolation. The most profound consolation that you could ever imagine. And he's a God who gives us this consolation when we need it most. Because yesterday, we gathered here for the funeral of Bruce John. We laid him to rest in the cemetery. We committed his soul to the Lord's hand. And we wept. We wept because death has taken him from us. And we miss him. We love him. But God, who is quick in offering that consolation, has assembled us back here again. Yesterday, 9 o'clock was the funeral. Today, 9 o'clock, we're here. And we're celebrating resurrection. Every Sunday is a celebration of the Lord's resurrection. A celebration of the Lord's day. If you will, a foretaste of that resurrection to come, that day to come. Every time we gather here is a foretaste of the end of the age. A taste of what eternal life is like with the Lord and his kingdom. There were a number of hymns that we sung today already, and we're not even maybe a third of the way through the liturgy, that give us consolation. The prokimenon, the Lord shall give strength to his people. The Lord shall bless his people with peace. And then we just sung in the Troparion for the day. Troparion meaning the first hymn of the day. We sung, by thy cross, thou hast destroyed death. To the thief, thou hast opened paradise. For the murderers, thou hast changed weeping into joy. And thou dost command thy disciples, O Christ God, to proclaim that thou art risen, granting the world great mercy. What a beautiful hymn, that Troparion for this Sunday. We're actually going to close the sermon with the Kantakion. We know the hymns are not the only consolation the Lord gives. We find in our readings today great consolation. I hope that you were listening to the two Gospels appointed for the day. One was for St. Innocent, Metropolitan of Moscow, the first bishop in America, equal to the apostles, the great shepherd of our land. The reading from the Gospel was about the good shepherd, the one who lays down his life for his sheep, the one who gathers those who are scattered into one flock and leads us even through the valley of the shadow of death, leads us to those green pastures, leads us to that heavenly kingdom. Psalm 23, we're all familiar with it, speaks about this God that we trust in as our shepherd. It's a psalm that's used many times for funerals. And I would imagine, as we heard in the other gospel reading appointed for the day, about that funeral in Nain, where a widow, a woman who had already lost her husband, now lost her only son, I would imagine that the people were consoling her with this very psalm as that procession left the city and went to the place of burial, speaking about how the Lord is our shepherd. He restores our soul. He leads us in the path of righteousness for his namesake. Even if we go through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, for thou art with us. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort us. Thou preparest the table before us in the presence of our enemies. Thou anointest our head with oil, and our cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know that psalm, brothers and sisters, right? But you actually know it in the singular. I read it in the plural. Did you catch that? When someone dies, we gather together. We assemble. They did it in the Old Testament times. We do it in the New Testament times. We comfort and we console one another. Our society, brothers and sisters, doesn't really do that so much anymore. I think there are a lot of people who knew and loved Bruce who did not come. And I say that not just for those outside the community of faith, but I think even for those inside. Now, some of you weren't able to make it. Circumstances required you to be elsewhere. But for those who were able to make it and didn't come, I encourage you next time, come. We have a responsibility to come before God. And nothing should keep us from fulfilling that. Certainly not the fear of death. We need to come and face death and turn to God together. Someone just told me, just yesterday actually, after we had done the services for Bruce, they told me about someone they knew who just died. And they died of cancer. And in 6 hours from being pronounced, they were cremated. There was a very quick service done, and everything was wrapped up. 6 hours. That's faster than an Amazon Prime delivery. I say it as a joke, but it is really no joking matter. The way we care for our loved ones is of exceeding importance. The human being is both soul and body. The way we treat the body is the way we treat the person. Even in the Old Testament, burial is commanded to be given even to strangers. Love demands this, the care for the other, their soul and their body. It's one of the last acts of love that we can do for someone, is to bury them. Something they can't do for themselves, we can do for them. And I say one of the last because there's more to be done. We pray. We commemorate them in the liturgy. We do alms and good works on their behalf. We never forget them. We console one another, especially the family. We're here for you. You know, as that funeral procession was taking place in that city of Nain, as they were probably reciting about the Lord being their shepherd and their trust in him, you know who showed up on the scene? The shepherd. And he was bringing, it says, a large crowd of his disciples. They were following him. Their dead souls had heard his voice and had become alive again. It was a procession of resurrection. And it met this procession of death. And this God of great consolation raised this boy who had died, worked this miracle, gave this boy to his mother, gave this boy to that town. The Lord says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. My sheep hear my voice. He called that boy and he listened. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life. And they will never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. The people that day cried out, God has visited his people. God has visited his people. And he performed this resurrection. Resurrection is something that was foretold in the Old Testament. We know about the vision of the prophet Ezekiel, that whole valley of dry bones that would take on flesh and be raised again. The Spirit of God would come in and man would have life. We know also about Elias, who raised the widow of Zarephath's son. We know about Elisha, his disciple, who received a double portion of grace. He raised the Shunammite woman's son. And another resurrection. If you look into 2 Kings, you'll see that after Elisha was buried, after he was already put in the tomb, that next spring, it says, the Moabites came to Israel. And they were raiding and pillaging. And they came at one time when there was a funeral. A man was being brought to burial. And as they were bringing him to the place of burial, the raiders came, the Moabites came. And they didn't know what to do because they couldn't bury him. But they knew that was their responsibility to do that. So they did what they thought was the most expedient thing. They buried him in the tomb of the prophet Elisha. They put this dead man on Elisha's bones, his relics. You know what happened to that man? He came alive again. 2 Kings, look it up. Sometimes when people speak against the Orthodox veneration of relics, and they say that's not in the scriptures, it's right there in the scriptures. The body that's filled with God's grace becomes holy, becomes an instrument of his power. We're very pleased to have with us here in this church the relics of St. Innocent of Alaska, the saint that we celebrate today. Father Joseph very kindly brought them to us today. We thank you, Father Joseph. We know about resurrections in the New Testament. The Apostle Peter, he raised Tabitha, Dorcas, and Joppa from the dead, the woman who sewed those beautiful garments. The Apostle Paul, he raised Eutychus and Troas. Who was Eutychus? He was a young man, and it was a Sunday, the Lord's Day, the day of the resurrection. They gathered, just as we're gathering. The Apostle Paul was there, and he started preaching. And he kept going on and on and on. It's right there in the Acts of the Apostles. He kept preaching. And time was passing. And it got to the point where it was midnight. Not 12 noon, right? Sometimes we think our liturgy is going to approach 12 noon. Father John goes on and on. This is midnight. This is the end of the day. And he keeps going on and on. And you read it in Acts of the Apostles. It just talks about how St. Paul just keeps going. It doesn't stop. And the boy falls out a window because he falls asleep. We're on the first floor here. But when he falls out the window, he dies, and St. Paul raises him from the dead. Showing once again God's power to give life to those who have died. But all of these miracles from the prophets and the apostles pale in comparison to what the Lord does. And he builds in his miracles of resurrection. First, he raises the daughter of Jairus, who died and is still in the home, raises her. In today's gospel, we heard about a young boy who's already being carried out. He stops the procession, he raises him. Later, he would raise Lazarus, who had been in the tomb for 4 days, by his word alone. Lazarus, come forth. The sheep heard the shepherd and responded. And then finally, what does he do? But he raises himself. He says, I lay down my life, and I have the power to take it again. As the Father has power to give life, so he has given the Son this power to give life. And it gives life to anyone who asks, anyone who seeks it, anyone who will hear that shepherd's voice will enter into life. This is consolation for us, brothers and sisters, but it's not the consolation sometimes that we want. Sometimes the consolation that we want is just too little. We don't think big enough. All of these resurrections, with the exception of Christ raising himself, were people who entered back into this life. That's mixed with joy and sorrow, happiness and grief, sickness and health, life and then death again. Sometimes we ask ourselves, why does God allow us to die? Why doesn't he do something and stop all of these funerals? Why? Because he doesn't want us to come back to this world of good and evil. He wants us to go somewhere else, where he went first to prepare a place for us. That kingdom where there is no death, there is no darkness, There is no evil. He doesn't want us to come back to this. He wants us to come out of this. The power of Christ is not to raise from Hades back to the earth. It's to raise from Hades and earth up to heaven. This is the consolation that God has prepared for us. Brothers and sisters, death is simply for us now, passage out of here to life with God for all of eternity. As we celebrate this Lord's Day, as we celebrate this resurrection, as God grants us consolation over and over and over again, look to see the heights to which he's raising us. Look to see the joy you'll experience. Have that strength, have that peace that he gives to us. And finally, as I told you, we'll close with this Kentakion. This is what the Lord says to us. The dominion of death can no longer hold men captive. For Christ descended, shattering and destroying its powers. Hell is bound, while the prophets rejoice and cry. The Savior has come to those in faith. And the Lord says to us, enter, you faithful, into the resurrection. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.